Folks, why do you think so many people, so many Christians are walking away from their faith? I mean, high profile pastors, worship leaders have rejected Jesus. We're beginning to see it in the news more and more and more. And folks, it's not just the leaders. It's the folks in the pews too. What's driving this exodus? What's going on? Is it because the culture around us has changed? Yeah. Is it because the church has changed? Yes. Is it because a lot of people have had a bad experience in church? Yes, again. Is it because most younger Americans perceive Christianity as irrelevant to their daily lives? Yes. Is it because many churchgoers have come to the conclusion that Christianity doesn't work for them? Again, the answer is yes. But folks, those reasons only dance around what the core issue is. Folks, as we approach Easter, this is a very, very relevant issue that affects all of us. This is Brad Bright. Welcome to the God is Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. I've been a follower of Jesus for more than 60 years. I can't imagine rejecting Jesus, even if I really, really messed up like King David. You know, I often heard my dad say, I'm only one bad decision from throwing it all away. But denying Jesus? Folks, that's beyond my comprehension. Did leaders like Josh Harris think he would turn his back on his Savior? I really don't know. But folks, there are three reasons I'm a Christian, and they make an unshakable foundation for a relationship with God that I wouldn't trade for anything. Folks, I want to quickly go through those three reasons today. Then I want to talk about why I believe so many Christians are walking away from Jesus today. And then finally, I want to talk about the solution, specifically what you can do to help ensure you're not one of the casualties, one of the statistics. So the first reason I'm a Christian is because the universe doesn't make sense if God doesn't exist. Did the universe really create itself out of nothing? Folks, I don't have enough faith to believe that. My son Keller graduated from Baylor University. During his time there, he had a number of friends who were atheists. And one day they asked him, Keller, you're a smart guy. So why do you believe in God? And this is how my son responded. He said, because I can't imagine a universe in which God doesn't exist. Folks, I agree with him. Let me give you just one of the reasons why. It is clear that there is moral obligation in the universe, that moral obligation exists, that there are universal rights and wrongs. For instance, murder is always wrong. Rape is always wrong. Racism is always wrong. Slander is always wrong. However, if God does not exist, there is no rational source for moral obligation. If God does not exist, moral obligation cannot exist. You know, I spent 7 years at the University of Washington on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. And one day, as I was chatting with one of the philosophy profs who regarded himself as an atheist, you know, it was a great conversation. He's a great guy. We had fun talking with each other. But at one point he said, moral relativism is for the masses. No philosophy prof in the U.S. believes in moral relativism because it's intellectually bankrupt. But then he ended with this statement. It is self-evident that there are moral absolutes in the universe. I just can't figure out where they come from. His honesty totally caught me off guard, but I've never forgotten that conversation. But folks, if God does not exist, I too cannot figure out where moral absolutes could possibly come from. So that's the first reason. The second reason is I'm a Christian because the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is overwhelming. I remember a number of years ago, the Orlando City Council was asking for people to come testify. I was on issue something to do with gay rights. I can't remember what it was specifically, but the bill was being considered. And so I went and signed up and I got my 3-minute slot to speak. And when I got up there, I kind of pushed my notes aside and I said, okay, let me bottom line this thing for you. I'm a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I get my guidance from the Bible. And as I read the Bible, every single clear-cut mention of homosexual behavior is negative. Not a single positive mention at all. Now then, I think God's a pretty smart guy. I don't think that just happened. He's saying, oops, I wish I'd put some positive comments about homosexuality in there. No, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say oops. So here's my challenge for you. And it's a serious challenge. if you can show me, if any one of you can show me why the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is flawed, I will walk away from my faith and come champion your cause for you. Do you know how many people took me up on the challenge? Well, exactly zero. Do you know why? Because the evidence is overwhelming. In the past, many have set out to disprove the resurrection, but no one has succeeded. In the process, many of those who tried became followers of Jesus as a result of the overwhelming evidence. Folks, there's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus than that Napoleon ever fought the Battle of Waterloo. You know, my dad grew up an agnostic. He was the son of an agnostic, the grandson of an agnostic. But one day, a businessman in Hollywood who he really admired started doing, he said, you know, making money is great, but the most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. And for my dad, that was a huge curveball. But as a result, it started my dad on a journey of really looking into the evidence for Jesus. And he too became convinced that the evidence was conclusive beyond a reasonable doubt. And as he said, I was a happy pagan, but I saw something better. Folks, if you want to learn more about that issue and the evidence for the resurrection, I suggest you go to Amazon and go order a copy of More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. Now, the third reason I'm a Christian is because it works. I saw it work in my dad's life. I've seen it work in my life. However, let me give a caveat here. When I say it works, I mean something very different than a lot of Christians sitting in the pews mean today. In the Bible, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. Folks, most people sitting in the church seem to interpret that to mean that God's job is to make me happy. In fact, a lot of folks in ministry seem to interpret that to mean that God's job is to make me happy. I've even heard pastors say it from the pulpit, but it's not true. God wants so much more than that for me and for you. Now, Dr. Christian Smith wrote an article about this very phenomenon a number of years ago. He labeled this type of thinking moralistic therapeutic deism. It's worth going online, looking it up, and reading the article. But let me sum up what he said. He said that historical Christianity believes the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. However, he went on to explain that the current generation of Christians in America believe that the chief end of God is to make them happy. That's what he calls moralistic therapeutic deism. Folks, that's what most Christians seem to think the abundant life is, especially Christians under the age of 40. If that's what you believe, you are barreling toward a train wreck. My dad died of pulmonary fibrosis after serving God faithfully for 50 years. Day after day, I watched him kind of just slowly suffocate to death. Is slowly suffocating to death what Jesus meant by the abundant life? Is that what he promised? Well, maybe he lied. I have stage 4 metastatic cancer. The doctors say it's going to kill me. Is dying of cancer what Jesus meant by the abundant life when he promised it? Well, maybe Jesus lied. You know, when the cancer drugs hammer my brain so hard that I can't think straight, is that the abundant life Jesus promised? Maybe he lied. No, he didn't. You see, from the moment the doctor told me I was going to die of cancer 17 months ago, I've been at peace. I can say it did not make me happy when he told me that. But you see, that's not the issue. From the moment the doctor told me that, I have not had not a single moment of an anxiety. Do you know why? Because Jesus promised me the abundant life and he doesn't lie. You see, happiness comes and goes, depending on your circumstances, right? Good circumstances, you're happy. Bad circumstances, you're not happy anymore. But the joy and peace that God gives has nothing to do with your circumstances whatsoever. Let me explain what I mean. Here is the secret I've discovered. Either my circumstances will determine how I see and experience God, or my view of God will determine how I see and experience my circumstances. Let me repeat that. Either my circumstances will determine how I see and experience God, or my view of God will determine how I see and experience my circumstances. Folks, During the last 2 years of my dad's life, whenever I'd ask him, "Dad, how are you doing?" he'd always respond, "I'm rejoicing in the Lord." You see, his view of God determined even how he experienced pulmonary fibrosis. Let me say, if you're focused on your circumstances rather than on the God who loves you, the Christian life will never work for you. You will never experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. If your happiness flows from your circumstances rather than from your relationship with your loving Creator, you will live your life on a spiritual roller coaster of highs and lows, and you will never be able to get off. And if you're honest, you will have to admit, along with Josh Harris, that Christianity doesn't work for you. Is that what you want? Folks, many professing Christians walk away from Jesus because they thought it was God's job to make them happy and to give them the abundant life. So what happens when the curveballs of life come? Well, they're no longer happy, are they? And so they walk away. Let me state categorically, I am not a Christian because I expect God to make me happy. Did you hear that? I am not a Christian because I expect God to make me happy. You see, God wants so much more for me than that, and he wants more than that for you too. Do you know what Josh Harris's real problem was? And folks, let me say this with no judgment whatsoever. He didn't know who God really was, and he still doesn't. And I suspect he would freely admit that now. You see, he thought he knew who God was, and then one day he woke up and realized that he didn't have a clue. Seminary did not teach him who God was. That's not what they focus these days on in seminary. Did you know that? They don't focus on teaching people who God is. Now, many pastors, Christian leaders, and Christian musicians today, just like Josh, have either a broken or inadequate view of God. How do I know that? Because I've talked with them. I've talked with them one-on-one when no one else was listening. Folks, a number of years ago, I was chatting with a friend of mine who's a major player in a major evangelical denomination. He's one of the top guys. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Brad, we have learned how to create a successful church. We know the formula, and that's the problem. We rely on the formula rather than God, and our pastors, they're blowing up on us, and we don't know what to do." You know, you may have all the formulas, but if you don't really know who God is, then the Christian life will never work for you. Folks, that used to describe me. Let me state it another way. If the Christian life is not working for you, then you don't know who God is. Not really. Folks, it seems that most Christians in America either have a broken or inadequate view of God, and they don't even know it. They have a sense that something's not quite right, but they can't quite put their finger on it. You see, the Christian life is a trust relationship with the living God. The problem is, you can't trust someone you don't know. So if you have an inadequate view of God, you won't be able to fully trust him, will you? And if you don't fully trust God, the Christian life will never work for you. Just like it didn't work for Josh Harris. Folks, Christians rarely walk away from their faith for intellectual reasons. They usually walk away because it doesn't work for them. And it doesn't work for them because they don't really know who God is. If that's you, let me offer you a way out. There are three books you need to read. I suggest you read them with someone else so that you can really talk about it. That really helps for most people to really kind of drill down on, is this true and why does it matter? Now, full disclosure here, my dad wrote all three of these books. You see, he wrote over 100 different books and booklets in his lifetime, but I think these are three of the very best. The first one is called First Love. He wrote it the year before he died. It's the shortest book he ever wrote. David Jeremiah wrote the foreword for it. But in the flyleaf of the copy that he gave me, he wrote in it. Let me just read it to you. He said, "Brad and Catherine, beloved children, this is the most important book I have ever written, and the shortest one too. I remember I gave it to a group of guys. I was helping lead a Bible study when we lived in Orlando, business guys. I gave it to the guys. I said, read it this week, and we're going to talk about it next week. The next week came, and one of the guys walked in and said, 'Brad, I read your dad's book, And I have to say, your dad said the hard stuff while he wrapped me in a warm blanket. Folks, we all need to hear the hard stuff, don't we? But no one wants to have a finger pointed at them. You'll love this book if that's you. And folks, it's my gift to you. I want to give it to you to help you start on the incredible journey of a lifetime. Why don't you go to Bright Media and download a free ebook copy or a free Kindle copy? You see, if you want the Christian life to work for you, this is the book to start with. Now, then there's a second book I want you to read after that. It's called The Secret. It's all about the Spirit-filled life. Folks, most Christians don't have a clue what the Spirit-filled life is, and many barely even know who the Holy Spirit is. Some think they do, but they're still clinging to that spiritual roller coaster, you know, the ups and downs, which means they don't really understand, do they? Now then, this book, my dad wrote a number of books about the whole spiritual life, but this book I think is his very best, and it's called The Secret. Go download a copy at Amazon, or if you can go to the Cruise Store, it's cruisestore.org, and order a paperback copy if you prefer paperback. Do you want to get off the spiritual roller coaster? You need to read this book. My dad tells a lot of stories in there. It's a very easy read. Now, the third book I really strongly recommend you read is God, Who Are You Anyway? It answers one very simple question. Who is God really, and why does it matter in my life today? It's very practical. It's the foundation of the entire Christian life. It's the foundation of the abundant Christian life. It's the foundation of the Spirit-filled life. And this is the reason why. As my God, my view of God changes, I naturally change in response. You see, as your view of God changes, you will change in response. A number of years ago, I gave a copy of this book to a very successful attorney. And the first time I met him, we had been talking 3 minutes, and he started explaining how he'd made such a mess of his personal life. And after about 3 minutes, I stopped and I said, okay, I get it. You've made a mess of your life. Do you want to turn it around? He said, yeah, what do I do? I gave him a copy of this book. I said, read this book with your new wife. Go through it. And if you really go through it with the prayer of God, what do you want to teach me? I promise it'll change your life. A few months later, I ran into him at another meeting, and he was just beaming from ear to ear. I mean, totally different guy than the guy I'd seen a few months before. And he said, Brad, your dad's book has changed my life. Folks, all the book did, it was to help him better understand who God is and why it mattered in his life today. And just very, very practical. You see, as this attorney's view of God changed, he changed in response. It really is that simple. It's not rocket science. You see, we can trace all our human problems to our view of God. Therefore, the most important thing you can do is to make sure you have a correct view of God. If you have a broken, bent, or small view of God, the Christian life will never really work for you. The abundant Christian life will always elude you. Folks, you can go order a copy either on Amazon or brightmedia.org. And by the way, I don't make any money on any of these books, not a dime. I do this because I know they can change your life. If you'll read these three books, just these three books, with the prayer, God, teach me what you want me to know about you, you will learn to experience the abundant Christian life that Jesus promised. You won't have to be a casualty like Josh Harris and so many others. I'd love to hear what you think about today's podcast. And as we get ready to celebrate Easter, what I'd really love to hear is the primary reason that you're a Christian today. Let me know in the comments section. God is the issue in every issue, but especially when it comes to understanding how to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. If you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. May God bless you as we celebrate the historically verifiable resurrection of our Lord this Easter. He is risen indeed.